to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm trying to get somewhere. But boy, I tell you, I'm glad to be here tonight. Very familiar portion of scripture, the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to be moving around and shifting throughout these precious, about these precious words in this precious Bible. And contained in this Bible is the words of help. Contained in this is the words of encouragement. There's nothing I can say to you tonight that's going to probably help you, but if we'll listen to the word.
Amen.
Quit listening to the preacher. Start listening to the word.
Amen.
See, the word will speak when the preacher ain't got the words.
Amen.
It'd be silly for me to stand up here and tell you I know exactly what I'm going to do and exactly what I'm going to say. Sure, there's an outline before me, but I do know this. If God takes over and takes right of way in this service, he'll start right talking to you right now. Amen. You ain't got to worry about what I know. Amen. I pray that God would just seek and search and, amen, preach us tonight like never before, because I believe somebody might need to hear this tonight. The book of 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to begin in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. If you have your place, would you shout a big old amen?
Amen.
Hey, just to make the devil mad, let's shout amen one more time.
Amen.
And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Go down to verse number 12 with me. I want to show you something. Verse number 12. I like what it says. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Go to chapter 18 with me. I want to show you something. Go to verse number 10. I want you to see something. Just on the merit of what that says, we ought to have a Holy Ghost fit. Based on what that says right there, we ought to turn this place loose and just have a mighty good time in the Lord. I like what it says. This is what the Bible says. As the Lord thy God liveth. There is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Would you go down to verse 15, just one more? I want you to see something. I want you to see this. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. If I could preach to your heart this simple little thought, as the Lord liveth.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 2023, the Lord is alive and well.
Amen.
He's not caught off guard by the things that are going on in this perverse world. He's not caught off guard by the political views and what's happening over in Israel. He's still in control and he still has all power. He's not nodded off and he's not went to sleep at the wheel. The Lord is still alive and well. Let's pray together. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to be here today. God, to preach your blessed word. Now, God, I pray for a little while that you would help this old preacher one more time. God, I need your help and I need your anointing touch. God, I pray that you would empty me of self. God, fill me with your Holy Ghost Spirit, God, that I may preach your word. Oh, God, I seek nothing for myself. I seek no fame, no accolade, no thanks. Oh, but God, I've come to do the work of the kingdom. God, I've come to lift you up and exalt you. Now, Lord, would you touch my lips of clay? Oh, Lord, let this word go forth. Oh, God, let it find a lodging place deep in someone's heart. God, if there's one that's lost and undone, don't know you under the free pardon of sin, let this be the day of salvation for the one that's drifted and one that's went off afar. God, bring them back before it's eternally too late. And for that one that might be here tonight and question if you're still alive, if you still care, if you still see, God, we've come tonight to declare that you're still alive. And we're here to worship you and exalt you in all that we do. Oh, God, take this word. Let it be a blessing and a help to your church and to your people. We'll give you glory for what's done. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Oh, God's people shouted.
Amen.
Be seated here tonight if you can. An amazing man of God and the man that we see here in the text, Elijah. And no doubt, this is a man that certainly knows how to pray. He has seen the power of prayer. He has had direct access to the throne room of God. This is the man that when he prays, it does not rain. This is the man that when he prays, it rains fire. This is a man that knows how to get a hold of God. Amen. This is a man that has a word on his heart from the Lord. And continually in the text, over and over again, he wants to remind the world here October the 22nd of 2023, here at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, the Lord, he liveth tonight. I see a reoccurring phrase in the text, the Lord liveth. Can I say Elijah goes through many troubles and trials, but you know what kept him going? He knew the Lord was alive. Many times you and I, we're going to wonder how we're going to make it from here to there, or what we're going to do about tomorrow, and how we're going to pay them bills, and how we're going to get out of this mess. Neighbor, can I say, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I do know you can trust God that he will see you through. If God has brought you to it, his intention is to take you through it. I'm glad tonight for a God of supply, a God of provision. There's never been a need that he would not meet. There's never been a want nor a desire that he could not feel. I'm glad tonight I serve a God who provides for his children. Elijah goes through many troubles and trials, but he has the blessed assurance that the Lord liveth. Now listen, it's good to know the Lord's alive, but he knows that God knows him.
Amen.
You know what makes this book so good to read? Not knowing how to read the text, but knowing the author. I would to God that we know that when we read this, we're reading God's thoughts on paper, amen? That you're getting access to the throne. And Elijah said in his time that the Lord liveth. Can I say this? I'll not debate with you if there is a God. Now listen, I'm from North Carolina, and I don't know how to be properly or correct or whatever you want to say, but neighbor, you got to be crippled high for crutches to argue that there is a God. I'm sorry, amen. Listen, I won't debate with you. I won't entertain that thought. Listen, if you want to know if there's a God, stick your head outside. Take a look at that moon as it shines. Hey, look at the sunshine of a morning. Hey, look at them trees. Look at them rivers. Look at them mountains. But above all, look at what God's done for us. The reason I say he's alive is because he lives in here. And because he's in here, I've got the proof he's alive here tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible itself, the Bible don't even defend that God exists. You know what it says? In the beginning, God. Sometimes that's just enough. Hey, listen. If you can't get past that first statement, don't go no further till you get that. Hey, you got to have faith even to read the book. Amen. Hey, in the beginning was God. There is no defense needed. He was, he is, and he's still to come. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the altogether lovely one, the chief cornerstone. Bless God, he's altogether lovely tonight. Hey, can I say, the Lord, liveth tonight. Oh, can I say something? He's just alive and he's well here tonight. I got to think about that little story about that boy. That little boy, he was on a plane one night and they were flying over. It was the red eye. And this little boy, he's up and he's got his seatbelt on and he's sitting there and he's playing with his match cars and he's just humming along. And all of a sudden there's a voice that comes over and it's the captain. And the captain gets on there and says, ladies and gentlemen, please put your tables in the upright position. Secure and lock all your possessions and put your seatbelt on. We are about to hit turbulence. Neighbor, I don't know, have you ever been walking through life and hit turbulence? You know, everything looks smooth to start out the day. Takeoff was good. We started out well. We had our coffee. We had our biscuits. Everything was going just fine. All of a sudden, a little turbulence. That little boy's sitting there, and all of a sudden they hear that captain again. He says, neighbors, it's about to get just a little rougher. Make sure that you've done everything. Put yourself in a secure position and hold on for the ride. The next thing you know, all the things are starting to go wrong in a plane that can go wrong. There's lights going off. There's sounds being made. The wings are shaking. The captain comes over and says, ladies and gentlemen, everything's going to be all right. Just hang on. That little boy was sitting there, and he was singing and humming. It seemed like nothing bothered him. As he sat there, the little match car, he was humming some songs. He was having himself a time. There was a fella sitting beside him, though. That fella was an older fella. He tried every complimentary beverage that they could possibly offer. He tried getting drunker than a skunk, and it still wasn't enough to do the job. And he looked over at that boy, and he said, boy, what do you got to be so excited about? Why are you so tore up? He said, let me tell you, that voice I hear over the intercom, that's my daddy. And as long as I hear his voice, I know we're going to make it. I'm glad I'm going to make it through this thing called life. The Lord liveth. Things getting a little rough in your life. You hitting turbulence. I'm glad the captain's still in control. And neighbor, if you're driving, get out of the chair. Go sit down in the back and let him have a try at it. Hey, you ain't even qualified to be the co-captain. Don't put yourself so high that you think you can sit beside of him in his glory. Oh, neighbor, listen, I've learned a long time ago, if I'll get out of God's way, he'll just take over and make things a lot better. Amen. You say, why is that? Because the Lord liveth. You say, preacher, you said all that to say what? Can I say that the Lord liveth when the wicked have strength? Go to chapter 16. I want to show you something. You'll find a man there by the name of Omri. King Omri was known as a wicked king. The Bible describes him as a vile and wicked man, a man that displeased God, a man that was seriously so wicked that God took time out of the precious word and labeled him as such a wicked man. But then he had a son whose name was Ahab. And the Bible says about Ahab, he was the most wicked king there ever was. You find this correlation. Hey, mom and daddy, look up here. You think your sin don't matter? Honey, them children are watching you and what you say about your preacher, how you tear down the church, how you cuss like a sailor and sing the songs of Zion on Sunday. Hey, I'm preaching to somebody. You need to hear me and hear me well. Them little youngins hear that. And if you think it's bad now, when them children grow up, what are they inheriting? How will they treat the house of God? How will they treat the man of God? We better wake up and realize that we're in the fight of our life, but we got some good news. We got somebody on our side that's never lost, and the Lord, he's alive and well tonight. The wicked, when they have strength. Ahab married the daughter of a man named Ethbaal. Ethbaal named his daughter Jezebel. Jezebel brought in false religion. Oh, neighbor, can I say we better be careful what we entertain and bring into our homes. You say, preacher, why is that? Because after a while, after Jezebel got good and comfortable, after she got established and got set in, that false religion she brought in was about Baal, and then she created prophets of Baal, and the only opinion that was allowed in that time pertained to Baal. Boy, that sounds a lot like today, don't it? Boy, if it's got anything to do with God, you might as well turn it off. We ain't going to listen to that. We don't want to hear it. I don't know. Maybe it's different down here, but I will say up there, there's a lot of people don't want nothing to do with God. There's a lot of people don't want nothing to do with the things of God. Can I say that we live in a moral decline of a day? Can I say some things? Listen, what we see here is Jezebel had such a hold on the land because she ruled with the power that was not supposed to be hers, but it ended up messing up the entirety. Let me tell you where it messed up. Brother Tim, this is where it got me. At the very first thing you do when you see the prophets of Baal come in is ministerial deception. Now hear me and hear me well. You better watch out for these preachers that get on TV. You better watch out for them ones that are looking for your money. You better watch out for them ones that say, send 1995, and I'll send you a hanky back on good faith. You better watch out for these people that talk about profit and talk about money. Honey, what we need in the last day is a true revival of the Holy Ghost of God. We need preachers to rear back like they used to in the days of old. Amen, and get back to business. And remember, it's not a contest, but we're here to spread the gospel. We're here to tell somebody. There's somebody that can save anybody in this life. And in the wicked days, when ministerial deception begins, then you see a moral decline. The Bible shows in chapter 16, the Sodomites filled the land.
Go ahead.
Preacher, what's a sodomite? Well, I'm glad you asked. A sodomite is what used to be the land of Sodom. And the things they practiced and the things they done is not a new sin, but it was such a discrepancy unto God. It was such an abomination to what he saw that he wanted to destroy every part of it. And can I say, when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah off the face of the earth, honey, the devil has tried to institute and get it back in ever since. That's why they dedicate a whole month to it now. That's why they call it choice. That's why they call it love. You can label it once you want to, but God labels it as sin. It ain't a choice. You say, preacher, I was born now. That way. Here's the problem. You need to get born again. Hey, listen, if you've got a problem with what's going on in your life, you can't fix it. But I know somebody who can. The Lord liveth tonight. Oh, neighbor. Neighbor, neighbor. Neighbor, it's high time. It's high time the church get it in gear one more time. It's high time the church start calling sin for sin. It's time we quit looking the other way and saying, well, that's just the way it is. Honey, I'm here to tell you that God, he still has all power. He still has control. And if God's people would do what they're supposed to do and turn from the wicked and yield unto God and pray and seek his face, he would turn back to his people again. Oh, can I say that God is still alive even in the days of darkness and wickedness? Oh, can I say this? If you're living like there is a God, you better hope you're right. That's what the world does. The world lives like there is no God. Oh, neighbor, listen. You better hope you're right, because I got some news on another authority that not only is he real, but he's alive and well. Oh, listen, you can live any way you want to. You can choose to walk out of here lost and undone. But neighbor, you cannot say tonight, and that this preacher under this preaching has not told you about Jesus and the opportunity to come and know him personally as a Savior, because I'm not talking about some hocus pocus. I'm not talking about praying to drywall. I'm talking about the Lord who sits in the third heaven and makes intercession for you and I. There is a mediator between the Father and us, and his name is Jesus here tonight. Oh, listen. Can I say that verse 17, or chapter 17, verse number 2, this is what the Bible says. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, neighbor, you may have heard this said about 1,000 times, but let me be the 1,001 time you've heard it. I cannot say exactly where the meat came from that the ravens got. But I do know that if you're going to get the best meat in that time, you had to go and get it from the king's table. And did the psalmist not say that in the presence of thine enemies, I will lay out a table that we may feast in front of our enemy? Honey, can I tell you that God's so good that he'll use the devil to bless you if he's got to? I'm glad to report to you that he took old Ahab and his wickedness and all his vile, and the ravens come in there and scooped up what they needed, and they took it over to God's man. He had what he needed. Honey, David said it like this. He said, the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he be cast down, he shall not be utterly destroyed, for the Lord will uphold him with his right hand. Oh, I've been young and am now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I'm glad the Lord liveth here tonight. There's always a brook Cherith, and there's always a raven to feed those that are hungry. Hey, you might be here tonight, you're hanging on what you got left, and it ain't much, but let me tell you something. If all you've got is just the hem of the garment, that's all the more you need. If all you've got is just a thread, hold on to what you got, because sure as I'm standing here, the Lord liveth. He liveth, and the wicked have strength. Watch here, I like this. He liveth when the water stops. Now watch this, Elijah in verse 7. Watch here. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Can I say that Elijah experienced seasons of dryness? Christian, don't be discarded and don't be discouraged when you go through a season of dryness. I know that we like to think that we're out of communication with God and our fellowship is weak because we're stuck in the same process. But neighbor, can I say, if you've got God with you and God is still there, and even though it be dry, it's still more than you need, even if it be dry. Because can I say that from the heaven, from the throne room of heaven, that there can be just a drop given and it be more than you need. But I'm telling you that even through dryness, even through seasons of darkness, there will always be a God that can handle whatever comes your way. What makes the difference in our lives is how we handle the dryness. For every season we go through, I hope you understand what is said about the character of who you are is how you handle the season. Honey, God's not changing. He's God and He changes not. It'll be you that changes. But I'm glad that God is the one doing the sculpting. I'm glad He's the one doing the molding. Hey, listen to me. It was Elijah who had got to a place that he could not get what he needed where he was. Now, he was still doing what God said do. He was at the very place God said go. But honey, can listen to me. Honey, you can come to the water, but we can't make you drink it. Your preacher can get up here. I can get up here and sweat it out, scream till I'm blue and red in the face, whatever the case may be, but I can't make you drink the water. Come on. You can be led to it. Oh, surely each and every one of us have been led to the feeding trough a time or two. Many a time we've come to get thirst or get our thirst satisfied. But can I say that when the water stops and there's no water in sight and it looks dry as it's ever looked, it don't look promising. Honey, can I still say the Lord liveth? Even though it don't look right and it don't look good, He's still God. It's the mountaintop God. It's the valley type God. And there's no difference between the two. I like what the scripture says. Look at verse number 9 in the same chapter of 17. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little vessel of water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, I didn't see this until the other day. Boy, it really just got on me. Elijah, Brother Trevor, is in a dry season. It's dry. You know how I know it's dry? The first thing he wanted was some water. It's dry. You know, a lot of times when I come to the church house, God, I just need something to drink. Would you give me something to drink? Would you give me something I can just, would you just do it? And a lot of times I'm looking unto Him and there's things going on around me that I can't see, like this situation here. Oh, my word. Brother Tim, watch this. He talks to this woman about getting that water. And while she is yet fetching it, he says, I need a morsel to eat too. And this is what got me. Verse number 12. You know what God does? He uses the little old widow woman to do some preaching for Him. He's been through a dry season, and he's been through a dry time. Before she can say, I ain't got nothing, look what verse 12 says. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Don't you understand that through her circumstance and through her being without, that it was God that said, speak to my man and let him know I'm still alive. You tell him I'm the Lord and I liveth here tonight. Use that little old widow woman. Oh, listen, God is letting Elijah know that everything is going to plan. Hey, listen, I like when God speaks through somebody and lets me know that everything's going to be all right. Amen. I like when I get confirmation from a song every once in a while before I stand up to preach. Amen. Oh, listen, in the goodness of God, there ain't one of us that can't say He's not been good to us. And you know how I know He's been good to us? He's alive and well to be so. God did not ask Elijah for a plan. God had the plan orchestrated at the entirety of what he was about to do. All he had to do was trust the plan that God could sustain him. And neighbor, if you're in the waiting room and you're wondering what God's going to do and when he's going to do it, just trust him in the process. Listen, we can follow the plan and the purpose of God, and in the meantime, we will find that God will provide like never before. Listen, God even provided for her needs. I don't know, every day I just imagine, Brother Trevor, she went down there and she went to that barrel and she had reached down there and she'd get just a little bit out. And I believe she'd take it and she would flatten it and press it, put it in there. And little old Johnny would come running in and say, Mama, what you doing? She said, Son, I'm baking what was left in that barrel. Johnny, I got the last of the sticks. I've got everything left. We're about to eat this and we're about to die. About that time, old Elijah steps up and says, nope, don't eat that. Let me get some of that. And about the time she says no, she turns around and says yes. And he gave him to eat. Now, every day from that day forward, she went in there. And little Johnny said, Mama, what you doing? I'm going to the bottom of the barrel. Every time he turned around, took that little cake and put it in the oven. And cooked it. Johnny said, Mama, is that the last? He said, yeah, that's the last, Johnny. But when I go back, there will be another morsel down there. I just trust that the Lord's got what I need at the bottom. You might be at the bottom of your barrel, but you just got to the top of God's. I'm talking about a God that has an endless supply. Neighbor, you say, preacher, how does she not run out? Because God put what she needed every day in there. You say, preacher, you got no Bible. If he provided manna from heaven, if he sent quails every day, if he said you could take from this rock and drink of it, I just trust he could put a little cornmeal. I think he can make me a little cake of cornbread every time and then. You can trust the Lord that he liveth when the wicked are at their strength, when the water stops. But you can also trust the Lord when you're walking solo. I know there's many a times that we think, Lord, surely you'll not leave me right here. Neighbor, there's never been a day that God left you anywhere. But there's a lot of times that you're about to face some things that God wants to see what you all about and what you're about to do. And sometimes it's going to seem like you all by yourself. I don't know. You go over to chapter number 18, there's a man by himself, it looks like, walking up one side of that mountain. But brother, I believe all the prophets of Baal were sitting there smirking and watching that old prophet, that old man of God, maybe while he was stirring around and looking in them rocks from the altar. I believe maybe something stirred up in him. And it may have looked like he was alone, but I believe as he was gathering stuff, he said, Lord, it's your word. Whenever you say, I'm ready. Neighbor, can I say unto your heart, the Bible says that all the prophets of Baal gathered together. They began to scream and to cry out unto their God. And whoever's God would answer first would be the God of all Israel. Oh, they cried, they screamed, they cut themselves. Blood poured in old Elijah. He's sitting there slapping his knee, saying maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's tired. Hey, maybe you ought to shout a little louder. Oh, I'm here to tell you that when they were done with all that nonsense, it was old Elijah that stood up, took the stones of old, put the water and the sand in it, and said, God, you said stop the rain. Now, God, I'm saying bring some fire down. And oh, boy, now that's not how it was quoted in the King James Bible. That's just me talking. But when that fire fell, Brother Tim, the Bible says that it took up the entirety of that sacrifice and licked up the water, even took up the dirt and the sand that was around it. The Bible says that they all turned and marveled and realized who the God of heaven was, who the God of Israel was supposed to be. Can I say that Elijah, even though he walked up that mountain looking like he was all by himself, there was a God in heaven walking beside him, stride for stride, step for step. You might be here tonight, and you even came by yourself, but I'm here to tell you, in that car, got somebody greater than you. In that ride home, will be somebody greater than you. I'm glad to report, I cannot outrun him. I can't get away from him. I can't get him off my heart. And I can't get him off my mind. The Lord liveth tonight when you walk solo. Oh, listen, preacher, you talk a big game from behind that pulpit. Listen, I've been in some dark places myself. Some of the depths that I've been to in my life and my depravity are the very things that would have taken Brother Tim locked me up and put me in jail for a long time. We were on opposite sides there for a long time, me and your preacher. He didn't know me and I didn't know him. But I knew when I saw a cop, it wasn't good for me. I got tired of living a life where when I saw a traffic stop, I thought I was going to get pulled over and busted. I got tired of running. And I just got tired of feeling like I was all by myself. I got tired of feeling like there was never going to be a time I was ever going to feel full in here. I remember the time in my life where I felt so desperate just to feel one thing in my life that was pure and innocent one more time. And oh, I'm glad to report to you that when I felt all by myself, that's about the time God came by and he scooped me up. Now, I ain't perfect, but I have not been the same since he came by my way. I got a good report this morning. I done talked with him, and I'm here to tell you that he's still alive here tonight. The Lord liveth. When the wicked are at strength, when the water stops, when you're walking solo, the Lord liveth when you're worried about your future. Chapter number 19, you find Elijah in a strange place. This is the very man that the chapter before I just told you called down fire from heaven. I mean, it wasn't enough just to call down fire. He grabbed him something and started lopping off some heads. I mean, he wasn't messing around. He was there to put an end to the madness. He was there to clean house. He was there to drain the swamp, is what they say today. Oh, can I say, here's old Elijah and all that power, and old Jezebel over there says, I'm going to kill you. Now, I've said this before at my church, and everybody gets a pretty good laugh out of this, but I will say this, Brother Tim. Had that been me, I said, why don't you come and get you some? You talk a good game from over there, sweetheart. Why don't you come over here and get you some?
Come on.
Honey, I've been lopping heads all morning. What's one more to me?
Come on.
I don't know, North Carolina, we just brawl like that. We're weird. I don't. We don't play around. We try to hurt people. we mean to let you lay there. We don't want you getting back up.
Amen.
Amen. We don't know what fighting fair is. Listen, my size, if I was about to fight Brother Trevor Banks, I'd grab 2 2-by-4s. Amen. I'm telling you. Just don't know what it is to fight fair. The devil don't either.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
And even though Elijah was at a very high place, it was what she said that scared him into a cave.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing how we can be at the height of just our life and the walk with God, and we can be at such a place we think, God, it'll never get any better just for it to get instantly way worse. You know, even Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness right after he got baptized.
Yeah.
After the heavens were opened up, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, and the voice came out of heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. The Bible says after that great moment, he's led into the wilderness.
Amen.
For 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil at his weakest point.
Yeah.
Here's old Elijah, now at a low point. And at this low point, he has wandered into a cave. He has begged God for his life, saying, kill me now. There's nobody left. It's just me. Nobody cares. And he says, I need you to go somewhere for me. Neighbor, I'm here to tell you that when you think about the future, I get worried about it sometimes. I've got children that are of the teenage years. I've got one daughter that in another year will be married. I've got one son that's getting ready to be a senior in high school. I've got one that's in fourth grade. So just about every walk of life that you can imagine, I've experienced that over the past 10 to 12 years. And I've watched these children be rejected by others and their peers because they have a funny idea of what it is to serve God more than it is anything else. I've watched my kids stand by themselves while others just stand there and look over at them, trying to figure out what's going on with them and why they're so weird. You know, there was a time in this nation it wasn't weird to love the Lord.
Amen.
There was a time where we honored and respected him. Lord, there was a time when even a sinner would walk by the church. If he had a cigarette, he'd throw it down. Now they put the cigarette butt out on your church sign.
Come on. Come on.
I am worried about the future. I do look at it and I see a lot of promising young people, but I don't know what the world's going to be like. But I do know that God will be there when that time comes.
Amen.
And I just trust him that he'll take what I have.
Amen.
And do the best he can with what I have. Amen. Listen, Elijah in chapter 19 is sent to go do something because God's not done with him. And when he is sent to go over, he is sent over to find a man by the name of Elisha.
Yeah.
Elisha sees Elijah as he is plowing with the oxen. And Elijah walks by and he says, would you follow me? And he said, go let me kiss my father goodbye. And he said, that's between you and the Lord. The Bible says before he even set the plow down, he started setting it on fire and making sacrifice. I know our future does not look as promising as we would like, but we cannot give up on these children. I know we're quick to blame this generation for everything that's wrong, but can I say this? As the Lord thy God liveth,
Amen.
He can take this generation and do such great wonders with it. Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because he's afraid of it. He's tried to kill it from the womb.
Amen.
He's tried to drug them ever since they were born. He's tried to kill them every time he gets a chance. He tries to lead them into harm often. But as the Lord thy God liveth,
yes.
I'm glad for the hedge he puts about us.
Amen.
I like this. If you have something played, I want to close with this. I'm not usually long-winded, so I try to be quick. Watch here. I told y'all we'd stop for McDonald's if y'all behaved. Y'all lost that. Go back over here. Daniel ruined it for everybody. I read over at the end of Elijah's life. And over at Elijah's life, you find out that he has his mantle and Elisha is with him, and he told Elisha, he said, Elisha, I'm about to depart. What would you like?
Yeah.
What could I possibly give you? He said, boy, what you had was good, but I want twice what you had. The Bible says that he said, if you'll see me when I leave, it's yours to have. And amidst all that, he's walking from place to place, going towards Jericho, turning around, going this way, going that direction, north, south, east, and west. People on the sidelines mocking him and his own prophet saying, don't you know Elijah's going to be taken today? Why don't you just leave him be? No, honey, he was chasing something. The Bible says that God was so pleased with Elijah that he sent down the heavenly taxi to get him.
Yeah.
Oh, and that chariot of fire, the Bible said it was such a strong force that it blew them apart. And when he landed, he looked up. And what did he see? He saw Elijah the servant leaving, but he saw the mantle falling.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, can't you imagine sitting there just waiting? Oh.
Yeah. Come on.
But I like what he said. He took the same mantle, and he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, the God of Elijah, and he took that same mantle and smote the waters. And he walked right across.
Hey.
You say, preacher, what are you saying about the future? If we'll hang on to what we've got and add the increase to it, this generation behind us will pick up the mantle and they'll do more with it than we did.
Amen.
Hey, Elisha died at the completion of 13 miracles. Now, I know some of us will look at that and say, well, God surely robbed him. He was thankful for what he had. But, neighbor, can I say that even though we be here tonight, and we've got children, and we've got friends, and we've got neighbors, and we might be here tonight, we may not tarry to the end. We may not see rapture. They may will us up here one day. Our prayers don't die with us.
Amen.
You won't take your prayers in the casket with you. They've already made it.
Amen.
Your prayers got there before you got there.
Amen.
Boy, being all saved up. You know what my prayer is for the future? God, give them twice what we had.
Amen.
Because they're going to need it.
Amen.
Hey, I don't know who you are tonight, and I don't mean to try to take over a service, but I do want to be obedient to the Lord. And you might be here tonight, and you say, preacher, I don't really feel like going another step. Preacher, I'm here, but I'm not here. You can come to church and not be at church. Because the cares of the outside world are so heavy, you can't get them off your mind. I know that everyone that goes through a dry season, I'm not preaching anything that you probably haven't heard. Everyone in this room will go through that dry season. If you haven't, you will. And if you are, hang in there. And when you come out, God's still just as good on this side as he is on that side.
Amen.
Oh, but can I say, you might be here tonight, you're worried about the future. You're worried about these children. You're worried about the next one. Hey. The Lord liveth. Elijah, 13 miracles in, dies. They took his body, put it in a sepulcher. Bible says there was a war that broke out near where he was, years later, hundreds of years. And they got in a hurry, and they took that body that was dead, been slain, and threw him in there. And inside that sepulcher, because they were in a hurry, that body brushed up against the bones of Elijah. And Elisha didn't have no life in him. But what God had put in him was still alive.
Amen.
And the bones that he touched, the Bible says that man walked out of there alive and well.
Amen.
You know why we're here tonight? Because the Lord liveth. See, they took a stone one day, and they placed it over a tomb. Put chains on it, put a seal on it, put guards outside of it for just a dead man. But they couldn't explain early that morning. Something just began to happen. Something began to shine. And they knew that they were watching what was supposed to be a dead man. But that day, they saw a dead man get up. And I'm here to report to you that dead man that got up is the one that is alive and remains. He's the one that's real. He's the one we preach of. He's the one that stood with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. He is the Lord here tonight. And the Lord liveth. If you need this all.